Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
We'd like to recommend that people with young children turn off their receivers now to avoid shock. I'm JP. Welcome to another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., and we still distribute free monthly issues about music, arts, action sports, and other subculture items. This podcast is our continuing effort of taking printed content and bringing it to the audio world. On this week's episode, we're going to be hearing an old track from Salt Lake City band Form of Rocket and learning about their reunion shows. We'll also be figuring out what's going on with SaltCon, a local board game convention, and we'll be speaking with Sister Dottie S. Dixon about her latest play. Form of Rocket formed in Salt Lake City in 2000, releasing their debut album, Se Puede Despedir a Todos, in 2002. They then released their second album, Lumber, in 2003, and their third album, Men, just 3 years later. The group, sometimes described as hard math rock, unofficially split in two in mid-2008, forming well-known local bands Eagle Twin and Accidente. Both of the groups continued to share a practice space for years, and recently decided, on a whim, to get back together for a couple of shows. Here's Slug's senior staff writer, Gavin Hoffman, interviewing Form of Rocket's bassist, Ben Dodds.
I hesitate to use the term reunion because, as far as I understood, you never technically went away or broke up. Everybody just had other things going on.
I think we all got to a point where one or two of us asked the other three of us, would you guys like to play? We could do some shows, and we thought, we'd have fun playing together. That was always fun before. We should do it. It'd be a lot of fun. Let's try to do it better than we did before. And that's what we've been doing.
How long has it been? Because, I mean, I heard word late summer, early autumn last year that you guys were kind of bantering about possibly getting back together and playing some stuff. Does that sound about right?
I think that's when the conversation began.
Okay.
I think that's when the conversation began. I don't know when we started playing exactly, but I think it's been since maybe early October. We've been playing here and there.
Okay.
And then it's gradually become more of a routine thing, once to twice a week.
Okay.
Peter took off for his honeymoon.
Yeah.
But aside from that, we've been practicing mostly two times a week for the last couple months. It's nice. It's good times.
And who is all doing the current incarnation of
Well, you know, there are the three records,
yes,
mainly. The three records, the people that are on those records, mm-hmm, are myself, Tyler, Peter, Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Last record, Gentry.
Uh-huh.
We did some touring with Gentry without Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
So this incarnation includes those members.
Okay. Are you doing anything, any new stuff, or are you, you know, kind of plucking material from what you've done in the past?
I know that, you know, we've played with some new ideas, but with the amount of time that we are putting this set together, I think we're primarily going to be focusing on making a good set out of everything we have done so far. Potentially in the future, who knows if there is a future, I can't say that for sure.
Sure.
There may be some new stuff.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Nice to keep it kind of open-ended rather than say...
I mean, we're working on ideas about, you know, how to lay things out. We're working on ideas on, like, making the songs better than they were, mm-hmm, and kind of having more prolonged intros or you know, things like that.
Okay.
That make the set more flow.
But so after eight and a half years, I mean, I think, you know, you've got a pretty good sense of what,
oh, yeah,
you know, each other is doing. And then obviously you and Peter have continued on doing Accidente, uh-huh, and then Gentry and Tyler were doing... Still doing Eagle Twin.
Right.
So really, I mean, the only, you know, X factor, I guess, in terms of that would be Curtis, because he was kind of out for so long. But he was never, at least from what I understood, even when he was gone, he wasn't really gone. I mean, he was still kind of, you know, he'd come back and he'd do readings and things like that. So it's not like he's totally far removed.
Mm-hmm. Curtis has always been really focused on creative pursuits.
Mm-hmm.
And he had always been the member of Form of Rocket, I think, who most focused the music of any of us.
Okay.
And he's most thought of it in that way, I think. And so it really is cool to have him back playing with us as a unit.
Right.
Because it brings that dimension to it that I think kind of without him was missing.
And then you touched on, you don't know if you're going to be doing, you know, if it's going to continue down the road, if you're going to be recording.
Well, the Third World Nation tour.
Well, Third World Nation tour, yeah. Obviously.
Right.
Are you, aside from discussion, anything like that, are you open to doing something like that?
Well, I like playing in Form of Rocket.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I like playing with those musicians. I like playing with all of them. Mm-hmm. It's super fun. As a bass player, I love playing with Tyler. He's a great drummer to play with. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen, and, you know, I'll let it just remain open-ended. You know?
Right.
That's kind of how I feel about it. You know, we share a practice space now that we all pay equal shares of for the space.
Sure.
And so if the shows come and go and we start playing new ideas, then cool. I'm all about it.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't mind that happening. That'd be nice. And all of us, you know, it's all of us involved. So,
right. Which is
it's cool.
A very good thing.
Yeah.
So it's basically just kind of something, you know, we're here. We may as, you know, we're having a good time. Let's go ahead and do this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people ask all the time, so what's happening? You know, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. And I think everybody in the group is the same way. Like, it's not been discussed.
Right.
We don't call it reunion. We just call it, we're playing shows.
Right. Which is, I think, kind of a good way to go about it. Because, like I said, I never got the impression, speaking with you or Peter or, you know, or Tyler or anybody, that Form of Rocket, you know, had disbanded or was dead or there was nothing happening with it. It just kind of stopped.
It didn't work anymore. For a while, we couldn't do it.
Right.
I mean, Tyler and Gentry were doing Eagle Twin full-time. Curtis was in the Peace Corps in the Ukraine. I was just focused on doing my own little project, or Peter and I were, with Accidente. We were doing that, so I was satiated to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Sebastian, who's playing drums in Accidente, moved to Breckenridge, Colorado to become their executive chef.
Okay.
And so I'm not doing Accidente right now at all. And so it's nice to play with these guys. There's a whole different kind of feel to playing with these guys. And there's a whole history to playing with these guys and the touring we've done and all that. So it's amazingly fun for me. I like it a lot.
Good.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the anticipation for this, just speaking, you know, talking to people here and there and people that, you know, because Form of Rocket shows were always a little different than other quote-unquote local shows. There was always a little bit more, I guess, anticipation or something along those lines when you went to the show. But one thing that always happened at Form of Rocket shows was no one ever left disappointed. Everybody always went and had a really good time. And so I'm kind of, you know, thinking that, or hoping anyway for you guys, that is, you know, kind of what you're shooting for with these, is, you know, everybody to come out and have as good a time as you guys are having.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be nice.
Very succinct. Playing the shows with you.
At Urban Lounge, we're playing with Doan, which consists of Andy Patterson and Cash Tolman.
Right.
And at Kilby Court, we're playing with Gaza.
So it's just the two bands?
Yeah. Yeah, it's two band shows. Yeah.
Perfect.
You know, and I'm happy for that. Tyler really made that sort of a requirement. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he did. Mm-hmm. Like, who wants to go have their ears smashed by 4 or 5 bands,
mm-hmm.
and then stay around for the last band and hear your ears smashed out again? If you're gonna do it, you might as well keep it short and sweet. Well, our set's not gonna be short.
Right.
but you might as well keep it to a minimum so it stays enjoyable the whole time.
Right.
Or hopefully.
Right. So, and I mean, I think you were going for the short and sweet thing. I think that's something that, you know, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I think that's something that kind of gets missed or overlooked a lot of times with shows, is that you end up doing these shows that 4, 5, 6 bands are playing, and you maybe want to see a couple of them, mm-hmm. and you go and you're just bombarded with all of this, you know, all this stuff all night, you know, just to get to whatever band it is you want to see, and then by the time that band you want to see gets on, you're just done.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you've been at a place since 8 or 9 o'clock, it's now 12:30.
Yeah, more is not more.
No, more is...
More is not more.
More is not more.
Less is more.
Less
sure.
is absolutely more, and I think, you know, with the bands you've selected to do it, I think that kind of rounds out well.
Gaz has been around for a long time in Salt Lake City, and we've been friends for a long time, and so that works for us. And they're, you know, they're loud and they're hard and they're heavy, and they kind of fits with our energy. We're different.
Oh, yes.
Obviously.
Oh, yes.
And then Doan, I don't know much about Doan, frankly, but I do know that Andy Patterson is involved, mm-hmm. and I'm happy to have Andy, who has been such a big part of our record making, involved. And I've heard good things about Doan. I don't know much about them.
I don't know anything about him either, other than that it is Andy and Cash, and I remember talking with Andy when they kind of first started, you know, tinkering around with it, but I haven't heard anything since then. Mm-hmm. So I think that makes it kind of interesting.
Yeah, me too.
To do that, because you'll bring out, doing something like that actually makes it a more interesting show, at least from my standpoint, because on one hand, I can go see a band that I'd like to check out that I've never heard before because I'm interested in them. Then I can go see a band that, you know, to an extent I kind of grew up with, you know, as much as I could, being already grown up, but kind of grew up with and get to, you know, see that again and have a good time and see a good show.
With Doan, I kind of like the dichotomy of this band that has two members. One with a bass and with drums. I haven't seen them, I've heard good things, and there are members involved that we've had a long history with.
Right.
And then this band that comes along afterward playing with five members, mm-hmm. who is like reverse.
Yeah.
From minimalist members to maximalist members.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, all out, just the members, you know, of the band are, in my opinion, and probably a lot of other people's opinion, some of the most respected musicians in Salt Lake, let alone, you know, outside of Utah. Everybody in the band is extraordinarily talented at what they do, and then, you know, coming together to do Formula Rocket, it's kind of mental overload. To be honest, like, I remember seeing a few shows with you guys where it really was just like, there's so much going on and so much to pay attention to, mm-hmm. that for a second there, if you kind of take your focus off and start trying to focus on one certain thing, it'll hurt you. But if you just stand back and let it all, you know, play the way it's supposed to, it makes sense. Always had a good time at the shows.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too, like, with playing with Curtis, Peter, and Gentry all playing guitar. Mm-hmm. How that works out. I was very concerned initially about, is that just going to be too much chaos?
Right.
But it's been cool because everybody's kind of been making a point of really finding their own little space.
Right.
And leaving room for everyone else. I do think very much that not only are three guitars involved, but they're involved tactfully. So I love it. I think it sounds great. It's just, and then when things do explode and get big, they get really big.
That was Gavin Hoffman speaking with Form of Rocket's bassist Ben Dodds. Now here's a song from Se Puede Despedir a Todos. This is Form of Rocket's Shut the Fuck Up Rodeo. Yeah! From their 2002 album Se Puede Despedir a Todos, that was Form of Rockets' Shut the Fuck Up Rodeo. That band is going to be playing at Kilby Court with Gaza on February 17th at 7 p.m. It's just $6 to get in. Then on February 18th, the band will show up at the Urban Lounge to perform with Dome. The show is $8 and it starts at 9 and goes until 11:30. To find archive videos, photos, and more info on the group, search for the Form of Rocket group page on Facebook. SaltCon is a board gaming convention held yearly in Salt Lake City. It's one of several in the US that preview demo games as well as newer and older titles from the market. The convention runs 38 straight hours, it's hard to believe, and it features tournaments, game trading, demo rounds, and awards. Here's Slug writer Henry Glashine interviewing founder organizer Dave Bailey.
So the early days of SaltCon started with this other con that you and a few other friends had started. Can you tell me a few more details about that?
That particular convention was done by someone else. It was basically a convention that was being done by some of the main designers that design board games across the United States or even the world, you know, or whatever. But I think some of those guys like Alan Moon, who did Ticket to Ride, and several of those like celebrities in the game design world, they have even now a convention that they call a gathering of friends that they all come to every year and they do their thing. Mm-hmm. Well, the guys who wanted to put together a convention for Salt Lake City decided to have a play on the words, and they called it a gathering of strangers, meaning just people coming together to play games. And myself and my friends, we all attended that particular convention and had enjoyed it. One year, about 4 years ago, the guy who was running that particular convention decided that he wasn't going to do it. It was typically done in the summer, and they were renovating the place where he did it, which was the University of Utah. It was always up at the Union Building. He couldn't find a location that was what he wanted, and so we asked him if it would be okay if we did it. And those guys were myself, Steve Polzing, Dale Gifford, and Phil Kilcrease. And we decided that we wanted to do it. And he said, sure, go ahead. So we set up our first convention there at the University of Utah at Fort Douglas, the Officers Club. It was quite a success. We had more numbers than what the Gathering of Strangers had done. So we felt like we had done something good, and we wanted to continue to do so. So we asked the guy if we could use that name, and he said no. He liked it. It was his name. He wanted to keep it. So instead, we had to come up with another name, and we came up with SaltCon. We were kind of basing that a little bit on the old granddad, one of the granddaddies of conventions in the United States called Gen Con, which originally started in Geneva. That's how they get the Gen for Gen Con. Now, the other thing that was cool that made us a little bit different as far as our convention is we decided that we wanted to also put on a board game design competition. Because a number of us, all of us as partners, we had belonged to a local game design club called the Board Game Designers Guild. And we thought it would be cool if we could maybe provide an avenue for some of our friends or ourselves, even if we were fortunate enough, to be able to publish games. And so one of the things we did with this is we had this competition wherein we invited various publishers to come and play games that had gone through a pre-screening criteria and been selected as possible winners in the competition. These publishers would then play those games and then select or grade them on certain criteria. Whichever game scored the best then would win the award. And hopefully, more importantly than winning the award, was gave all of these people that had their games playtested before the opportunity to have the game seen, and maybe somebody'd like it and say, hey, I want your game. Mm-hmm. And we've been really pleased in that a game that won the strategy category in our competition last year is a game called Pizza Theory, and it was picked up immediately by the owner of Fred Distribution, which does a couple of game lines called Eagle Games and Griffin Games. Mm-hmm. And he signed a contract with the designers. And this year, he is having the game is going to be presented in final form, published and everything, at this year's SaltCon. Publishers having I think, 50 copies of it mailed directly to SaltCon from China. It won't hit their regular warehouse till March. So this will be able to show people that a game that won SaltCon in a year later is being published. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty exciting, you know, that kind of stuff.
Recently, obviously, video games and virtual games have become a little bit more on the popular side of gaming. What effect do you think that's had on tabletop gaming? Has it influenced more people to come, or what have you noticed?
What I've noticed, I think that there might have been a time where more people, you know, turned to video games and that kind of thing, and video games have become a big thing. But in some ways, I think that some of the video games that have become extremely popular nowadays are these ones that are the shared world type games. They're playing a video game, but they're actually working socially with a group of other people, which might be somewhere else. And that takes up a lot of time, yes, and it takes up, it does a lot. But in some ways, it's creating somewhat the same experience that you have when you're gathering around a table. I think that in a way, that hasn't detracted from it, but it's caused people to come back to tabletop gaming, and the numbers of people that are doing it more and more. Our SaltCon convention is indicative of that because our numbers continue to grow. I mean, each year we've grown by 30 to 40%. Here's a great example, too, of how popular I think it is, that BGG, or Board Game Geek, they put on a convention week before Thanksgiving every year that's called BGG Con. That convention, I and one of my partners went to it this year. It was a lot of fun. It's down in Texas, down in Dallas. They had it at one of the big hotels. The amount of people they could hold in this hotel was about the 1,200, 1,300 range. It wasn't a convention center, it was just a hotel. In April, now this is happening, or it was in March, I think. This is happening in November. They released or put out there that tickets were for sale for the convention. They sold out the 1,300 people for the convention in 5 days.
Wow.
That's pretty incredible if you figure that many people that quickly, and it's going to a convention in Dallas. And then when you look at some of these other ones, the numbers are going up even more so. And you look at the popularity of just people playing games in their own game nights together, not just going to conventions. I mean, look at the popularity of that game, Apples to Apples. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Absolutely.
And how big that is amongst people just, you know, getting together and laughing and having a good time.
Yeah.
So I don't think the video games are destroying us, the tabletop gaming. In fact, I think more and more people are coming back to them, because they're getting that fix and enjoy the interaction, you know, playing with people.
Absolutely.
You know? And I think that's good. I think it's better than sitting in front of the screen all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
And parents like it too.
Do you find that there is a pretty large development scene here in Salt Lake City? Do you find there are a lot of people making board games?
Yes, there are. In fact, as I mentioned, the Board Game Designers Guild, of which myself and my partners are all members, meets regularly every month. We play test games and critique each other's games and help each other learn the process for getting out there and publishing a game. In the last 2 years, we've had 10 of our designers have games published.
Wow.
So that is very, very good. And we've actually started to get a little bit of a presence in that regard because of that success. The other thing is with SaltCon, we have also found that that connection has been helpful to us too. With our Ion Award design competition, we found that one of the big websites that is in the game industry is called BoardGameGeek.com. Mm-hmm. But they have every game you can imagine, and it's a worldwide thing. But we had one of their main reviewers had reviewed the Pizza Theory game, and had talked about how it had come out of, was an Ion Award competition winner, and about SaltCon and stuff like that. So we're very pleased with that, because people are starting to understand that we've got some good stuff going on out here in Utah.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world, you know? This is a good place, and this is a fun place.
This is seriously,
you can
true.
You can have a great time here.
What would you say is the overall goal, like the objective of SaltCon? Like what would you say is the intent that you had when you first conceived of SaltCon?
For us, SaltCon has been about, we love games. We love the community of it. We love meeting new people. We love the opportunity to be able to laugh and have a good time playing a board game. We think board games have a lot to offer to people in terms of learning to get along, having a good time, learning things as well. There's a lot of things you can pick up from that as far as knowledge. And we like doing it, and we wanted to have a convention where we could attract more people to the hobby, because it's a good thing for our city, but also it means that there's more people we can play games with, you know, if we can bring them. But certainly we're just so excited about that. And we wanted to also try to create a convention that would attract families or people that would want to pass on playing board games and the love of doing that with their children, because all of us remember with great fondness certain games that we played as children with our parents or our friends. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want that to be lost on our progeny as well. I mean, maybe that sounds like some sort of lofty goal, but you know, we think it's something good, and it's just plain fun. I mean, why wouldn't you want to do something that is just fun and
that's designed for your enjoyment?
Yeah, right. So we're doing it because we also want to have a good time, but we also want to bring something of value to the community.
SaltCon takes place this weekend at the Royal Garden Inn at 154 West, 600 South in downtown Salt Lake. The events will start at 10 a.m. on Friday, February 17th, and will run for 38 straight hours until midnight on Saturday, February 18th. For group and individual passes, events, and other general info, visit them at saltcon.com. Time once more to speak with Esther Amaronio about what's going on around Salt Lake City. She's our editorial assistant here at Slug Magazine and also my co-host most of the time for this daily weekly calendar.
Yay!
So glad you could join us again, Esther.
Me too.
I've got some good news about this week.
I do too.
I think my news is different than
all
your
right,
news.
All right, let's see.
We'll wait for it.
Okay.
It's Valentine's Day week.
Oh.
If you're like me, you celebrate it all week long with a variety of different flowers and chocolate types. No, most of the time I forget, if we're going to be honest. And if you forget it's Valentine's Day too, or really don't have anybody to celebrate with, we've got a few different options for you. We've got a show at Urban Lounge.
Yep, Cursive is going to be at Urban Lounge on the 14th. They're playing with and Mount Moriah, and I am definitely going to be there. My date is Tim Casher.
Okay, thank you for that information. Also, if you'd like to go dance instead, there's going to be a Lover's Concerto / Lonely Hearts Ball at W Lounge, hosted by Sam Stinson.
Cool.
And Wednesday, February 15th, it's the SLFM Tour Send-Off Show. Are you going to be at this one? We got to go support Jessica. I'm
going to
be there. Yeah,
former Slug staffer.
It's going to be at Urban as well, featuring The Awful Truth and Man Crate, as well as, of course, the beloved SLFM. And happy birthday as well on this day to David Newkirk. Speaking of Esther, would you like to tell us about what's going on February 16th?
So, you celebrate Valentine's all week long, but I celebrate my birthday!
All week long?
Yes.
Okay, that's what you're doing there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, my birthday is on February 16th, but I will be celebrating it the 17th at Slug's Birthday Bash, which is next on our list.
Great. Can we just hold on and talk about another awesome event that's happening on that same day as your birthday? The Slackers, Folk Hogan, and Tainted Halos will be at In the Venue. And now let's...
Wait. And actually, we have a feature story on the Slackers in our February issue that you can check out.
I was unaware.
Oh, I forgot to put it on there. Sorry.
Now we know, though. Thank God for you, right?
I know. I'm in the know on the background.
Now we can talk about
behind the scenes.
The blue dress party.
Yes.
Speaking of being behind the scenes, did you plan this at all? Do we have you to thank for this awesome idea?
No. It was our marketing coordinator, Carmia, with the help of Angela and some other Slug staffers. And they put together a birthday bash, not for me, for Slug. Because Slug is turning 23.
Congratulations, planning team. You came up with a great idea. Everyone has to wear a blue dress, and that's including the artists that are playing that night at our party, God's Revolver and Palace of Buddies, as well as DJ Godina. That's going to be at the Woodshed, which is over by the taco carts next to Sears.
And you can actually see profiles on all of those bands in our February issue. I think JP wrote one, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did, about the aforementioned DJ, a.k.a. the mad scientist of the 1200s. Godina plays soul, funk, and he's also a master fixer of the Technics turntable, thus the mad scientist of the 1200s moniker. I had a great conversation with him, and I can guarantee you one thing, at least, is that the DJing that night will be far above par or below par. I don't know. I think I just tried to do
above par.
Golf reference. I am familiar with golf. It's a gentleman's sport, so of course I play it.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly the putt kind. And Wii. There's a Wii golf. Did you know that?
No. Oh yeah. Yes. Wii the video game.
With it, a stare.
Sorry.
Maybe someone can get you a Wii for your birthday.
No, but you can come to the Slug birthday bash.
And buy you a shot.
Buy me a drink, yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. As if that wasn't enough excitement for 1 week, we're going to slam something else in on Saturday, February 18th. Why don't you tell people about this reunion show?
Form a Rocket are reforming, and...
We actually just heard one of their songs in the show.
Yeah, and they're playing with Dunn at Urban on Saturday the 18th.
And on Sunday, February 19th, happy birthday to Lance Saunders.
Happy
writer.
Birthday.
And man about town.
Yeah, he's connected with all the Urban Lounge events.
And the Kilby Kids.
And
Monday, February 20th, happy birthday to Johnny Logan, a great writer, copy editor, and distro driver on staff. We had a discussion recently with him about Slam Dance, his picks. This was his first year going up, so he slugged it out. He's also our latest Slam Dance correspondent. Esther, anything else to add?
He's just an all-around awesome guy, and...
No, not about that guy, just in general.
You can get all of this info plus more by going to our website, slugmag.com, and looking at the daily calendar. Or in the back of every Slug magazine, there's also a daily calendar. Or you can download our iPhone app, and we're actually right on the front there, Soundwaves from the Underground, and you can check out the episode, listen to it. You can also call us directly from there and just bitch about whatever. Or say hi.
Yeah, we have a voicemail line, which I mention at the end of every show.
Yes.
If you haven't heard that yet. The credits are worth it, okay? There's always a really exciting Easter egg at the end. Thanks again, Esther.
You're welcome.
Great job as usual.
Thanks.
This year, Slug celebrates our 23rd anniversary, as we mentioned in our events section. We were founded in 1989, and while the content and look of the publication has changed over the years, the mission to cover local and national music has not. Every year, we celebrate our anniversary with a birthday celebration featuring some of Utah's best, and one of the bands performing that night will be Palace of Buddies. From their second album, Summer Times, here's Ebenezer.
Thank you.
That was Ebenezer from Palace of Buddy's second album, Summertimes. They'll be playing our Blue Dress birthday bash with God's Revolver and DJ Godina February 17th at the Woodshed. The show starts at 9 p.m. and it's just $5. Remember, you have to wear a blue dress, or we're not going to let you in. For more information about the band, check them out at palaceofbuddies.com. Sister Dottie S. Dixon is the Spanish Fork liberal Mormon mother and housewife character from actor Charles Lynn Frost. And Sister Dottie got her start on KRCL through the show Now Queer This with her segment What Not, What Have You, and Such as That. The matron became an outspoken voice for the gay culture in Utah, prominently featured in several public forums and festivals, and eventually her own full-length play. Now Sister Dottie is back with a brand new play, and Slug writer Princess Kennedy sat down and interviewed her about the production.
Sister Dottie, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from and why I'm even talking to you today?
Well, Kennedy, thanks so much for this interview. I'm from Spanish Fork, Utah. I'm a simple Mormon girl born and reared there. I'm married to Donald D. Dixon for 35 years, and we have a gay son, Donnie P. Dixon. He just moved back into my basement in these hard economical times, lost his cute little loft over to Payson. Oh,
that's a shame. And your son, Donnie, is?
He's gay as a goose.
He's a gay homosexual.
Yeah.
And
he's sweet and we love him.
And because of this gay son, it's provoked you to become part of maybe of the activism of Salt Lake City in making people learn and grow, yes?
Sister Dottie, or as many people now are calling me, Mother Dottie, the accidental activist. I just kind of stumbled upon it. I didn't seek any sort of spotlight. And loving him unconditionally, not choosing my church over my child in any way, and really just accepting him for who he was and knowing that that's how he was born, and I loved him more then than I'd ever loved him. It's gotten me all involved and up into so many wonderful things.
You have been doing a lot in the past year even. I know you from doing some stage plays, and the first time that we actually met, I had written about, I think it was it your first one or your second one?
It was the first
one. It was the first one that we had chatted over. And since then, you get asked to be involved in quite a lot of stuff within the community, both gay and straight. So why don't you tell us what you've been doing the past year with that?
Well, I'd love to. Most recently, I done this show up to Ogden at Weber State University for Outreach Ogden. It's a resource center for LGBT people of all ages. And it was called Sister Dottie's Hilarious Holiday Hullabaloo. We had a show, we had a choir, lots of the Weber State University musical theater kids sung, and we raised a whole bunch of money, a whole grundle of money for Outreach Ogden for their programs, especially for their youth.
That's very nice. And then I saw a bunch of stuff you did with Pink Dot. Why don't you explain what Pink Dot is?
Pink Dot is everything I stand for. Really, truly. It was initiated by the Utah Pride Center, but it's really for straights and straight allies of the LGBT community. Pink Dot, the first one in the entire United States, was held on October 11th at the ballpark. So I did a big video for them and a big fundraiser for them to raise money and get support. It was helpful in getting that cute Kurt Bester and that gorgeous Hope Woodside as the celebrity hosts. We all formed this giant Pink Dot made out of human beings. It was amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. If you get a chance to Google search it, you can see
pink.utah.org.
Yeah.
Org. Gina Barbary's always correcting me on that.
Google search that and you'll find a picture of it. It's actually quite impressive. I I actually just recently rewatched the Prop 8 movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a fantastic movie, and it has a lot to do with gay marriage.
Absolutely.
And
very important work. I think that Reed Cowan done a grand job.
He really did.
I mean, he exposed so much truth, in my opinion. And, you know, people who run away from truth, they really probably have something they're trying to hide. I believe if you're doing the right thing to other people, and you're living by the golden rule, which everybody advocates, religious or non, then you really have nothing to hide. And I think Reed's movie showed a lot of people who weren't living by that golden rule do unto others. And you know what? I think everybody has the right to love whoever they want to love. It's nobody else's business, really. It gets me all upset about this. You're going to have me having a pussy right here.
She's absolutely flash, ladies and gentlemen. Now let's talk about how you think that the Mormon Church has possibly changed since that movie has come out.
I think the Mormon Church, they love the spotlight when it's a good spotlight. We all do. We like the spotlight on us if it's a good spotlight, and we hate it when it's not so good. And I think Prop 8, the movie, and that whole Prop 8 discovery of how they got involved and kind of covertly, how do you say that? And they put their money where they shouldn't have. And I think they hated that spotlight being on them. And so the brethren, they need to get a cistern or two, if you ask me, and they have probably said to themselves, let's keep ourselves in a more positive spotlight and make sure that we don't ever have that negative spotlight on us again. So hopefully, I think they're learning their lessons about that. And hopefully, their PR department is shaken up a little bit and helping them to figure out how they have to become a world religion at this point, because that's what they want to be. If you want to be mainstream, you're going to have to be more accepting. You're going to have to celebrate differences. You're going to have to love everybody, not just those who you want to love. And you're going to have to stop discriminating.
Absolutely. And since then, there's been a lot of change and a lot of focus on Salt Lake City. I mean, almost immediately after and around the time that the movie had come out, there was kind of a firestorm on Salt Lake City of negative press. And then we started kind of getting a lot of almost positive national attention with like Dustin Lance Black coming in. Have you had the opportunity to meet little Dustin yet?
I've never met Dustin. Donnie showed me one of his X tubes. I was a little embarrassed. Hope his mama didn't see that.
I hope his mama didn't see that either.
I told Donnie, don't you dare make one of them.
Dustin Lance Black was the writer of Milk. And he won the Oscar for that, and he has come to Salt Lake City and kind of put an amazing positive light on Salt Lake City and the gay community of Salt Lake City, of how strong we are and what we go through, and kind of fighting on ground zero of gay politics right now, and a lot of people snicker at it, but just 2 weeks ago, we were named the gayest city in America per capita, which I didn't find surprising.
The gayest? I didn't either. I ran down to my greenhouse. I said, I want to change all my pansy order for rainbow for the spring. They were in a hissy. They said, we don't have every color done. I said, you get every color growing right now. I'm just here to celebrate this. I think it's long overdue. And we who live on the front line trenches and who fight the good fight every single day, we have a right to be recognized for that. And, you know, some of the things they named Salt Lake City being number one for were really good and worthy things. But when it comes right down to it, it's our entertainment. It's our arts community. It's our politicians. You know, it's our historians. It's all of our organizations who have worked together in collaboration and cooperation and harmony to achieve some great new things that are on the horizon for Utah. I have a lot of people say to me across the United States, I have 5,000 Facebook friends, Kennedy.
There you go.
There's always 300 in the queue. And they always say to me, Donnie, what the hell do you live there for? And I say, someone has to work in the front line trenches. And I think we're in one of those front line cities, if you want my opinion. What happens in Salt Lake City impacts the entire country. And, you know, our rights are going to be noticed and recognized by others, and we fight harder for them. You want to know what the real secret is, in my opinion, Kennedy?
What's that?
This may shock you a little bit. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready to be shocked.
I think it goes back to our Mormon DNA. We here in this community
We have that in our heritage. You can give up your religion, and that's okay. But you don't ever have to give up your heritage. That's who you are. And that pioneer blood runs thick through a whole lot of us here. And I think it helps us to organize, rally, make a voice, stick together, create a plan, carry it out. See change happen. I keep telling people things are changing, and this is just another example. Things are a changing. We're in a huge transformation.
You've just started a new venture, I guess you would say. What have you done? What are we here talking about today?
A brand new big journey. Me and a good friend of mine have written a brand new play. It's all new play, brand new adventures of Sister Dottie. It's called Dottie, the Sister Lives On. It's preparing up to Salt Lake Acting Company. You've been up there. It's on that Marmalade Hill. All the streets are named after jams and jellies. I just love going up there. I get so many ideas for preserves.
That's awesome. And preserving people's rights.
Family preservation, mostly, and preserving people's rights. I'm all up into gay marriage right now. It's a brand new big issue. My husband Don says I adopt issues faster than lesbians adopt feral cats. I think it's true.
What are we going to be talking about in this play? I mean, first of all, you've conveyed messages before. Tell us about some of the other messages that you've conveyed with your past two productions.
Well, acceptance of all, unconditional love, no judging, no fear, shame, guilt, or judgment. Those have been past messages, and I'm still big about every single one of those. But this new play, again, is going to explore gay marriage and equality. It's going to explore a little bit about addiction, human addiction. And it's going to be talking about facing one's fears and moving through them, living in the present, being abundance, living by the laws of attraction and allowance. Them two go together. You know that, Kennedy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Of all people, you do. Yes. You're so pretty. That's the material kind of attraction that you are. But I'm sure you attract beautiful things into your life, too.
I do. Beautiful messes. Are we going to go to Burning Man at all on this trip?
No, we don't go to Burning Man at all on this trip. We go into the jungle on a gay cruise.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be something that
to
we don't
want to miss. To Cancun. Chitsa Sinitsa. All them steps. What was them Lemonites thinking?
Dottie, the Sister Lives On, will have its world premiere at the Salt Lake Acting Company on Wednesday, February 15th, and it will run until Sunday, March 4th. Visit saltlakeactingcompany.org to order your tickets for this limited engagement. And for more information on Dottie herself, you can read more on her at sisterdottie.com. Thanks for listening to another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or any thoughts about the show, send an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. And as we mentioned earlier, you can dial that straight from the iPhone app. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan, with associate producers Jeanette D. Moses, Ricky Vigil, Esther Moronio, and Jonathan Paxton. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis, with our main logo and art design by T. Doan, and technical design by Kate O'Connor. Next week's show is going to be another good one. We've got Damien Fairchild, a profile on North Platte Records, and Max Payne and the Groovies with a tour recap all joining us. So make sure you listen in, and thanks again.